Tim Versalotti, let's talk Massachusetts, where I live. I think people across the border in New York and New Hampshire and Connecticut, surrounding Massachusetts, always fascinated what this great blue state is thinking about things. This great blue state, which has elected a Republican governor. How's he doing?
He's doing well. There hasn't been a measure of his job approval all that recently, but we've seen measures in the spring and summer where he was in the upper 60s. To 70% job approval, which is pretty good.
Yeah, Andrew Cuomo would take that in a second in Democratic New York.
No kidding. I think most governors would. And it was testament to some smart choices that Baker made after he took office in terms of putting some Democrats in his circle of advisors and being very consultative with the leaders of the House and Senate. There are three people who essentially hammer out state budget: the governor, the Senate president, and the Speaker of the House. And Baker early on reached out to Robert DeLeo, the House Speaker, and Stan Rosenberg, the president of the Senate. And they've established a fairly good working relationship. The first budget did not have a lot of drama to it. It did have spending cuts, but again, it did not have much trouble passing. We're coming up on a period, though, where some issues are going to come up that the governor is going to have a little more difficulty finessing. One is this ongoing debate over charter schools in Massachusetts. There is a cap on the number of charter schools that can be created in the state, and Charlie Baker has made one of his signature issues raising that cap, allowing more charter schools to come in. That's strongly opposed by teachers' unions. That's strongly opposed by Democrats, who argue that charter schools are siphoning much-needed resources from public schools.
Well, let me just interrupt for a second and tell you that in New York State, of course, Governor Andrew Cuomo, I think, has learned the hard way that don't fool, if that's the right word, don't fool with the teachers' unions, because you'll get a million votes less in the next election. And principally by taking this sort of Republican-esque stance on charter schools. And I know in my town of Great Barrington in Massachusetts, where I live, I don't think a lot of people have it for charter schools siphoning off public money. What do you make of all that?
Right. It will be a contentious argument. And the way we have our legislature set up in Massachusetts, if the legislature does not deal with this issue in the current session, it is possible to put the question on the ballot in November of 2016.
Well, Mr. Pollster, what will happen if that happens?
Well, opponents of charter schools say they will have the resources to defeat the question. Supporters of charter schools point to some recent polling that they commissioned back in June that say the majority of Massachusetts voters support lifting the cap. Charter schools are tricky, though. You have to be very careful with the question wording and very careful with the information that you're including when you pose a question to a survey respondent. So it will be a fascinating issue to watch and to poll on in the coming cycle if it comes to that.
Indeed. And Alan, who used to be a professor for a lot of years, but who doesn't have your magical ability to poll people, is going to give you his instinct. It goes down, and it goes down big time. That's my bet.
Okay. I heard it here first.
Right. Okay. So Baker, of course, knows that we're having a tremendous problem with opioids, which include, by the way, heroin. What's he doing?
He has proposed a bill that places some further restrictions on physicians in terms of the amount of medication they can prescribe to patients, and this would apply to dentists as well as other physicians. And greater record keeping so that pharmacies can more easily check when they're filling a prescription to see if this individual has had the same prescription filled at other places. There are more resources being put into providing rehabilitative services as well. This is a big concern.
Yeah, let me just add one thing that I would do, and which annoyed me recently. I had been given, I had a back operation, I had been given some OxyContin. I wanted to get rid of it. I brought it to the police station. I said, "Can I have a receipt, please?" They said, "We don't give receipts."
Yeah.
You understand this is an issue because once you can't follow the trail, it raises certain issues. That's all I'm going to say about that. But I think somebody's got to pay attention to that.
Yeah, and this pending legislation does take into account, or tries to attempt to address the record keeping, the tracking that is part of this issue. And so, and this is something that leaders, Democratic leaders in the legislature, received positively, and so it would appear as if that something will be done during this legislative session to address a problem that's significant, not just in Massachusetts, but throughout the region.
Now, for years, my group, the Berkshire Ramblers, has been singing about Charlie on the MTA. I have a question for you. That is, of course, the Massachusetts MTA back in the day. Getting him off, he couldn't get off because he couldn't pay that extra nickel. But the MBTA in Massachusetts is in big trouble.
Yeah, it's got an aging infrastructure. It had serious service disruptions during this past winter. It was a huge, huge issue in terms of not just public policy, but politics, and it really stoked people's frustrations, people who rely on the MBTA to get to and from work every day. Governor Baker stepped in and has asserted more administrative control over the MBTA, and there's a focus on improving service and devoting more resources to it. And the governor did not pay much of a political price for last winter because he was new in office. This coming winter, though, he'll own this issue. And so there will be a great emphasis on improved service and preparing to deal with the elements. Long-range forecasts say we're going to have a somewhat warmer winter this year. I think the governor is probably also hoping he gets a little help from Mother Nature, but of course you can't count on it.
Is there anybody to run against? We only have 2 minutes, but is there anybody positioning themselves in the state to run against him? Sounds like if you're in the 60s or 65s in terms of voter approval, polling approval, you know, people aren't going to be all that anxious to step up and run against him.
That is correct. And one of the rising stars of the Democratic Party in Massachusetts, the new Attorney General, Maura Healey, who succeeded Martha Coakley, said in April, right around the time these job approval ratings were coming out, that she was not interested in running for governor, that she would seek another term as AG, Attorney General, in 2018. The bench consists
kind
of
thin.
A few mayors who have are rising stars. Kim Driscoll, the mayor of Salem, Massachusetts, Cedi Warren, the mayor of Newton. We've got a couple of new members of the House delegation, Joe Kennedy III from the 4th District, and Seth Moulton, an Iraq war veteran from the 6th District, who are talked about as potential gubernatorial candidates.
They're not going to do it. Come on.
No. Well, they're needless to say, they're from Kennedy, certainly more so than Moulton, from fairly safe seats.
Yeah.
And I think they both would keep an eye on an opening coming up in the Senate, because Elizabeth Warren has not said whether she'd seek another term in 2018. So right now, Democratic side, the bench for the governor's office, it is pretty thin.
And the bench and the Red Sox, that's another whole story. So, so Tim Bertolotti, we love having you as our guest. You always fill us with information about things we don't know, and we appreciate it so much.
Oh, I enjoyed it. Thank you, Alan.